Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Stand away in St. Louis. Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Timothy Michael McKernan. Ben Fredrickson in for Doug Vaughn, Jimmy the Cat Hayes with you on the program. Send your emails in. Hotshots email of the day, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Free Lemmings lunch from Hotshots and a pair of Cardinal field box seats for this Friday night against the Reds. That is the prize for the email of the day here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Blues discussion right now, and it is our pleasure to welcome to the Appliance Discounter phone lines voice of the Blues on Fox Sports Midwest, and you can see him on the post game during this second round series with the Nashville Predators, John Kelly. John, good morning.
Hey, Tim, how are you today?
I am very good, thank you so much. Thrilling to see the Blues go to the second round for the second straight year. I think it'll be really cool to see him take on the Nashville Predators and what we had a guest last week describe as a rivalry that kind of flies under the radar in the NHL, but I think this one will gain some attention over the next couple of weeks. But let's first start with what took place against the Minnesota Wild. What did you make of Bruce Boudreau's comments and that the better team didn't necessarily win the series?
They were very surprising to me, Tim. You know, you lose in five games and you come out and that's one of the first things you say at the press conference. And, you know, I was shocked like a lot of people. And, you know, I've known Bruce for a lot of years. He was a player when I first started as a broadcaster in St. Catharines, Ontario. So I know him really well. I like him. I do applaud his candor. But in this case, I think he certainly was off base. I mean, yeah, they certainly were a team that perhaps had, you know, obviously more shots on goal and perhaps more scoring chances. But the Blues had better goaltending. And they made the big play at the right time. And to me, that's the difference in the series. You know, you look at game one, they get the overtime winner from Joel Edmondson. In game two, Schwartz scores late to break a tie. And then, of course, they win game five in overtime. So, you know, the Blues were the better team at critical moments. So I was, I was as surprised as anyone when he said that, you know, they were the better team.
He hasn't been exactly tearing it up in the playoffs. And when a coach says something like that, well, we had the better team, we didn't win, to me what it says is, man, maybe it's a coaching issue.
You know what, Jim, you're 100% right. And I'm not saying it was a coaching issue, but other people are saying that. And I read a column today from one of the columnists in Minnesota. And, you know, he basically said that perhaps they were outcoached by Mike Yeo. So, you know, when you say something like that, first of all, it's very disrespectful to the Blues and the coaches and the entire organization. I mean, it's sour grapes is what it is. So, you know, maybe obviously he was really upset that they lost the series and lost it in the way they did. But, you know, to me, you should take the high road and, you know, look what Mike Yeo did after the game. I mean, they asked him about, you know, getting retribution against his old club and all that. And he said, it wasn't about me. And even if it was, Mike took the high road and sounded very classy.
You know, to me, it's just remarkable that the Blues get to this spot. There was a stretch after the coaching change. They played well. Then it looked like the wheels were falling off. Shattenkirk goes, and everyone thinks, okay, we'll set our sights on next season. Then all of a sudden, everything came together. I didn't see it coming. Did you?
No, I don't think, you know, quite honestly, Jim, you're right. I mean, it looked like the sky was falling, but Mike Yeo came in back on February 1st, and he's done a remarkable job. You know, the numbers speak for themselves. The Blues have the best record in the NHL since February 1st. They have the best road record, the best goals against, the best save percentage. So, you know, the numbers don't lie. And, you know, if you would have said to me, you know, 3 months ago, the Blues would be without Fabry and we'll trade Shattenkirk and we'll open the playoff series against Minnesota with, you know, Sanford and Barbashev in the lineup, and the win in five, I would say, I don't know if that's a recipe for success, but it has been. And the rookies have been great. The whole team has been great. And quite obviously in that series, they were led by Jake Allen, who right now is the hottest goalie in hockey. So, you know, in sports, Jim, as we know, guys, you just never know. And this is a prime example.
When you look at how the Blues stack up against Nashville, they went 2-3 against them this season, but the first game Yeo coached after taking over for Hitch, it was a 4-1 win, the only time that he coached against them. Do you look at that, or do you look at the overall record? How do you think they match up against Nashville?
Well, you know, Ben, I know that, you know, fans and media like to look at past performance. I don't know if you can read a whole lot into a regular season series that was, you know, from the Blues' perspective, 2-3. You know, in one of the losses, they had a 3-0 lead and lost 6-3. But, you know, I think it was a very impressive win when they beat the Predators here a few weeks ago, 4-1. That game was basically for third spot in the Central, and the Blues won handily. So, you know, do you read a lot into it? I personally don't. All I know is that Nashville is a really good team. They're very fast, a lot of high-end skill, especially with the likes of Philip Forsberg and Victor Arvidsson. I mean, two legitimate snipers. And what they did to Chicago is very impressive. So there's no question the Blues will have to play their very best, and there's no question they won't take this team lightly. It's going to be a very good series.
To me, the thing that is impressive about how the Predators vanquished the Blackhawks is they kept a lot of the shots to the outside, and they didn't give them seconds. They cleared the puck out of there, and they made Pekka-Rinne look great. He played well, but I don't think he was tested as much as Jake Allen was against the Wild.
Well, there's no question, Jim, that, you know, the Blues absorbed a lot more shots on goal, and Jake had to be a difference maker in a lot of the games. Whereas Chicago didn't score a goal in the first two games at home. I mean, that's remarkable, a team that's won three cups in the last 7 years. So Nashville did a great job against Chicago, and Pekka-Rinne was fabulous. But, you know, the Blues are built entirely different than the Blackhawks. Number one, the Blues, you know, they don't have the real high-end skill like, you know, Taves and Kane and Panarin. The Blues are a four-line team that, to me, is a lot tougher and a lot bigger than Chicago, and a lot deeper than Chicago. So, you know, I don't read a whole lot into that. All I know is that Nashville was really good against the Blackhawks, but now they're facing an entirely different team in the St. Louis Blues than the one they just saw with the Chicago Blackhawks.
With Jake, I know that you look at how he basically stole multiple games in this series. Is this something that, I mean, is this a streak that is unsustainable at some point? Does he need more help, or is this just how good he can be and he's showing us that this is him at his ceiling and we can expect this to continue?
Well, I mean, obviously the Blues hope it continues, Ben, and you know, I know a recipe for success isn't to allow 52 shots like the Blues did in game number one and won that game in overtime. Is the Blues transition game from the
I guess we lost John. I don't know. I guess we did. All right. Well, John Kelly. Maybe we can reconnect with him. I don't know. We had two bad cell connections today.
Yeah, the guys were just kind of dropping out and then drifting away.
Now, people have been texting in that they can hear Ben clearly, but they can't hear me and you clearly. But, like, not everybody's saying that. So I don't know if it sounds one way on the radio, but then it sounds a different way on the streaming, but then what stream it sounds like. Like, when I'm listening to the station, I don't hear this stuff. So I don't know. So it would only be helpful if we could, like, when people text in and say that that's the case, which platform they're listening on. John Kelly rejoins us. Hello, John. Hello, John.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Done. I don't know.
Pitch out.
Nobody going. No. Counting out 2-0.
I was glad
to
see
VR.
It was a cell phone service issue. I thought maybe he got tired of answering questions about Jake Allen and just hung up on me.
And
in
regard to the different levels, Ben Fred was in here monkeying around with the microphone.
No.
Yours and mine this morning.
That's not true. I didn't touch Tim's seat.
Oh, damn, Gina. Now we're being told John Kelly is here. Let's see. John, good morning.
Sorry, guys.
There it
is. I don't know what happened there.
Ah, happens to the best.
Were you tired of Ben Fred's questioning?
Yeah, we felt like you might have been tired of his line of questioning. Hey, John, on the other side of things in the West, the Blues nemesis from the Western Conference Finals no longer with us as the Oilers advance, and the Ducks looked very good in dispatching of the Flames in four. How do you see that series?
Boy, that's a tough one to call. You know, Anaheim is a experienced team. They have a couple of players that were on their Cup champion team back in 07. They have the coach back that led them to a championship in Randy Carlyle. But Edmonton is a team that is, I've been very impressed with the depth they have up front and the high-end skill, of course, led by Connor McDavid. I think that they could give the Anaheim Ducks all they want in that series. And one of their top defensemen, Cam Fowler, was hurt, and I'm not sure of his status. I believe he'll be okay, but, you know, that could be a big difference in the series as well. But they're getting great goaltending from Cam Talbot. McDavid is one of the top players in the league already at 18 or 19. I don't know if he's even turned 19 yet. I think that could be a really good series, and it could go either way.
Yeah, the Blues will get, for the most part, some central time zone starts here. At least three of the first four. Now, one's on a Sunday, but it's nice to have those two games at 7 o'clock in St. Louis. And no matter what, if the thing goes five, the Blues will get two Friday night games at home, which should lead to some good entertainment in downtown St. Louis. Looking forward to watching you on the post-game show on Fox Sports Midwest, and looking forward to a second straight year of second-round Blues playoff action. And how great would it be if it's a second straight year of Western Conference final action as well. John, we always appreciate the time, sir. Thanks so much.
All right, Tim, anytime, guys.
John Kelly with us here on the Appliance Discounters.
He's great. He's great. Great guy. And no one's going to hold the Predators accountable more than John Kelly.
Well, you guys like do lengthy pregame talks breaking down these games, don't you, you and John?
Well, he'll call me and he'll say, hey, what do you think the keys are? And then, you know.
Well, can you get some of those keys? Can you put those out for the public?
Before game one?
Yeah.
All right.
That'd be fun.
That'd be great. It's behind the scenes.
Niebling Auto Repair in South St. Louis is celebrating its 125th anniversary, located at 5208 South Kings Highway by Christie Park. These guys have seen it all and know what they're doing. Niebling started as a wagon shop in 1892 and is the oldest family-owned auto repair business in St. Louis. Niebling Auto Repair does it all, everything from tires, oil changes, brakes, computer diagnostics to engine and transmission repair. For your convenience, they have a free shuttle service to take you to and from your home or work. They are South City through and through, family-owned and trusted for 125 years. Contact Tom or Abby, 4th and 5th generation of Nieblings at 314-352-6317 or online at nieblingauto.com. Trying to get to the bottom of this, somebody said, I streamed through the TuneIn app. For a week, Tim's volume has been low. Jennings was normal last week, and Ben has been okay today. I'm streaming on my PC. My PC volume is at 3/4, and my stream volume is at 3/4. Ben's mic is louder than the other mics. After Kelly called in, Kelly called Kelly back in, Tim's mic sounded louder. The cat's is still low.
Well, Tim, I'm just going to speak louder.
Plowhawk, what do you make of this?
I mean, I have you and Kat basically up as much as I can. And the meters, as I always have said, look exactly the same as they have previous to the complaint. So I'm not quite for sure I can accommodate to these listeners, but maybe it's their cell phones. I'm not for sure how many complaints there actually are.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering if it was one particular platform. And a lot of these people are new people who don't usually text in and complain about stuff. So I think it's a serious, and serious being relative, but they're being serious, I should say. I have the volume issue while streaming. I've had it for a while. Let's see. Streaming on TuneIn, everything is fine. Calm down, folks, from Butch McGuire. Nurse Nancy. I stream through the app on iOS, and it does drop usually 1 to 2 times an hour. I normally kill the app and relaunch it, and it seems to fix it. I don't listen. I don't. Ben is definitely louder than you, Tim. That's from the 314.
This one says I'm loud. All the others.
Oh, really? I didn't see that one. They come in. They come in fast, and they come in.
It says on the app.
Can I make an observation that I think these microphones are very, very fickle? And if you watch Ben is right up to the mic where you are right now. And if you look at the cat, sometimes the cat will be back, you know, a foot or so, and has a lot to do with. Volume.
Interesting.
So get up on it is what you're saying, AQ.
Get up on it now. Yeah. I'm up on it now.
Yeah. You every once in a while you maybe want your mustache to just touch it a little bit, Kat.
No, I don't. I'd have to disinfect. Let's check the microphone right.
Come on, get right up in there.
There's no business like show business has no business I know. Hope that came through loud and clear.
Yeah, we'll get reviews on that coming in. As well. The top 10 best burgers and fast food have been named. They have been named. I love guessing games, and this is important to me. I haven't scrolled down to see what the number one is. Does anybody want to take a vote? Well, why don't we go around and see what you think it is, not necessarily what you would prefer, but what you think is the number one burger. Plow Wild, Plow
just
Predator.
Just for the popularity, In-N-Out is considered fast food, correct? Because that's
what I will be going with. All right. Have you had In-N-Out?
I haven't, no.
Okay. Because it's kind of a West Coast deal, right? It's all West Coast. I think there might be one in Dallas now. Yes, Iggy.
Yeah, because people think it's cool, but it is really a good burger, In-N-Out. But out of the two, I would say Five Guys Burger.
Ben, Fred.
Both good choices. I'll guess, just to be different, Shake Shack.
Ooh, that's a nice place, sir.
That's what I would have said. And they also come with the crinkle cut fries.
Which is much better than the mess that In-N-Out has as their fries.
Now, I'm going to also say this. And, you know, if people want to team me up, they want to attack me on social media.
You're not
media,
afraid. You're
ahead.
A controversial host.
I'm a controversial host by nature.
Right.
But I'm going to say this. A Burger King Whopper is a dang good burger.
Wow.
And every once in a while, I'm going to go. Red Robin has a good burger.
Bottomless fries.
Shake Shack is great. But you know what? The Whopper gets no love. Whopper with cheese at Burger King is a darn good burger.
If I'm to ISO in on burger, I really don't know. I kind of feel like I might say Shake Shack.
That's good.
I don't know. I have to say this, though. I don't know if Shake Shack would be considered fast food, and I'm not sure Five Guys would either, because there's kind of, like, is a drive-thru necessary for it to be considered fast food?
No.
It is not. I don't know.
Go up and you order your food, they hand you a bag with the fast food.
I think this publication, UpRocks, might, because Shake Shack, there is no drive-thru. It's a sit-down. It's like casual fast food. Where In-N-Out, there are drive-thrus.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever dined inside of In-N-Out, actually.
Next, I would say Culver's, but I don't think Culver's would be considered fast food.
Culver's
but
that is
has,
a drive-thru.
But that has a drive-thru.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's see what we got. I would say that the win is going to go to In-N-Out. Let's see where we are.
I agree with it.
Da, da, da. Five Guys came in number three. So there you go. Five Guys was counted. Five Guys number two as well for their hamburger. Then I guess it's got to be In-N-Out. Double-double is the winner. God, and they got those fries. They're just their fries are terrible. I mean, as far as ratio of great burger versus fries, it's the best. It's the biggest disparity. Pablo, did you pull the audio of Keisha Gray's AMA on Reddit? I think I included you guys in on that. I guess not. Probably
we were
not.
Just
if you
talking
didn't.
Burgers.
Well, because she discussed burgers on there, and she discussed Shake and Free.
So there's a.
Well, who was doing it? Iggy? You were commenting on it.
Yeah, I was. When you posted it, I said, "Well, I got to listen to this now," and it was all over the place.
Right, but I sent specific times, and I thought I included you guys in on it. Well, it's timeless, fortunately, so we can go to it tomorrow. But yes, she was raving about Steak and Shake's fries, which so In-N-Out number one, Five Guys two, Five Guys hamburger two, Five Guys bacon cheeseburger three, Wendy's Baconator four,
strong
kind of
play,
surprise play,
never frozen.
Oh, is that right? Is that the deal?
Yeah, square patty,
always frozen,
very strong.
And Iggy seems like he dissents.
No, Wendy's took the shot at, you know, because McDonald drilled that thing out. They're like, we're no longer going to use frozen beef. And they actually, like, it was a big deal. And Wendy was just like, dude, we've been using fresh beef this whole time.
How about that?
Took it to social media.
Checkmate. Yeah.
Whataburger comes in at five. Anybody had Whataburger? I
think that's a Texas thing, isn't
it? I had it in Arkansas, so it's been nearly 18 years. But it is like a Dallas. Yeah, I had one in Austin, too, now that I think about it. But it is like a Texas Southwest thing.
You brought up a great point, Tim.
Burger King is number six. How happy are you about that?
I'm happy. But my number one is Shake Shack, and it's because here's the thing, Tim. You go there for the burger, but you want something that accompanies it.
Oh, like to wash it down.
So you need crinkle cut fries. So if you go to Shake Shack, the burgers are unbelievable. Like the taste, it tastes better. And then you're like, oh, and what do we have over here?
Crinkle cuts.
Crinkle cut. Yeah. Let me get some ketchup.
Yep. Yeah, I think
and enjoy
right
some fellowship.
A Steak and Shake double cheeseburger comes in there at number eight. I think that's a nice play. Fuddruckers. I'm a big Fuddruckers guy. And they have them potato wedges. They have them potato wedges. I like that. That's number nine.
Is Fuddruckers still around? I thought that was like something in the 80s.
I guess it's still around. I think there's one
in Columbia.
Oh, is there one in Columbia?
Yeah,
and there's one kind of by Helen Fitzgerald's, I think. Big Mac comes in at number 10.
Blech.
Wow. Iggy and the Plow Hawk immediately said, blech.
You don't need the extra bread.
No, the Big Mac
pointless.
Is pretty good. Every once in a while.
It's not even a burger.
That is
burger.
Interesting. I think that's a fair point.
If you're going once a year, I'm going to have a Big Mac. And then you're good for a year.
And you have self-loathing.
Because instantly regret it. Because why did I want three... three pieces of bread.
Because it tastes good. The sauce, which is...
Could be another patty, not more
What is
carbs.
That, Russian dressing they put on? They call it a secret sauce or...
Probably Thousand Island.
Thousand Island.
Hey, Tim, I'm snacking on a new Mixberry RX bar. Thanks for getting me hooked on these. That comes from the Jamoke. I would recommend those RX bars, even though they're not an advertiser. Big time. Totally made out of nothing but real organic ingredients, and they are legitimately good. Like 12 grams of protein, too.
Nice.
Only like 24 grams of carbs and like 225 calories. It's a nice little snack play. RX bars was my official recommendation for you as we discuss In-N-Out Burgers, which I think have like 1,500 calories in just one double-double, if I'm... Tim, you are correct. There is a Fuddruckers in Sunset Hills. That's what I thought. It's by Helen Fitzgerald.
Really?
Yeah.
Ben, are you a big take a picture of my food and tweet it out and put it on Instagram? Because Hoxie likes it.
No, I don't do that. Also, recently, my phone's... I kind of forgot my Apple password or whatever that you have to have to download the apps. So I had to... I accidentally deleted my Instagram, and now I can't get it back, and I don't miss it.
So
I'm without it, and it doesn't bother me at all.
I don't understand what, if you have Twitter, why do you need Instagram, except for that you can put little filters on there.
Yeah, I'm slowly going, trending toward old man status. I don't have Facebook on my phone anymore. I took that off. It was a distraction. I think if it's all said and done, I'll eventually go off the grid. That's my plan.
No,
you can't do that in what you do for a living.
As much as possible. And then if I ever, you know, if I didn't do what I did, I wouldn't be on any of it.
Yeah, but what about hot takes that need to be out there?
Well, yeah, because of my job, I have to be on it to some degree.
No, but I'm saying even if you weren't...
Even if I wasn't in the... If I was in the biz, no hot takes.
Journal, I think you would hot take
anyway. I would just pen and paper, sound off letters, only way to go.
Dorothy in St. Charles. God, that was perfect. Hey, Wright Business Products, the sponsor of the Suspension Logule Pen. No suspensions, though, when Doug is not here. JMH Law Firm. JMH Law Firm, a great sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Have you committed a crime? Well, JMH Law Firm is for you. JMH Law Firm and attorney Joe Harvath providing passionate and aggressive criminal representation at reasonable rates. If you've been charged with a felony, misdemeanor, or traffic offense, you better go to needalawyerstl.com. Traffic ticket, DUI, personal injury, you better go to needalawyerstl.com. Got a DUI after a TMA Live? You better go to needalawyerstl.com. Got caught selling weed to the plowboy? You better go to needalawyerstl.com. It's all at needalawyerstl.com or calling 314-827-6222 for JMH Law and attorney Joe Harvath with offices in St. Charles and Webster Groves. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. Yeah, Mike.
Hello.
Yes, yes.
Hey, Cardinal can beat New York Yankee.
Yeah, I mean, somewhat dated take, but technically correct.
Yeah, I wish they did, but they can beat them.
No, but they did right the ship, in a sense, and they've now won 6 of 7.
Here they come. Sunday charge.
Yeah, next month, the 3rd, I'm going to play baseball soon.
Very nice.
We look forward to that. And what do you plan to do? Hit home runs, throw fastballs, what?
I'm going to tell them I could pitch, and they're going to give me some kind of uniform, got the number on.
Very.
Ricky, don't lose that number.
Very nice.
The number. No, like I wear the thing, got a number on.
Right. What number do you prefer?
It don't matter to me.
I would say
just
your number.
Just sign him
one.
Up.
6.
Well, it don't matter to me, so...
And how is your love life, Mike?
It's good.
Good.
Well, I'm glad. Like last week, I was there with Carter.
Oh yeah,
very nice.
I talked Penny. Penny like she don't like me hanging around.
Oh yeah,
her.
She's jealous. Hey, hey, Mike. Anything for Ben? Anything for Ben? He's in for Doug today. Anything for Ben?
Ah, he a jackass.
Welcome to the show, Ben. Why don't you like Ben, Mike? Oh, he's gone. He hits and he runs. He hits and he runs.
He knows that that's the last item on the agenda.
That's right.
Anything for Doug, and today was anything for Ben.
He doesn't even know me.
Well, he listened.
Okay.
He listened.
He's a loyal listener of the radio.
He's probably mad because my voice is louder than Tim's on the stream.
Yeah. I'm angry about
it.
Got
him fired up.
I can tell you that right now. I'm pretty angry about it. Send your emails in. Hot Shots email today comes your way here in about 15 minutes.
Exciting.
How about this story? Every time I go to TMZ, which is sad in and of itself that I'm going to TMZ. It's just kind of one of those things. It's like, oh, I'm in an elevator. I've got like 2 minutes to kill. I'll go to the TMZ app. And then I leave angrier. It's like reading the comment section. I don't know. So I don't, it's my fault. I do it to myself.
What do they have, a website?
They do. And they have an app to you. But the big thing on TMZ over the last couple weeks, Iggy, you know what it's been? Do you venture there, probably?
Yeah, I do.
What is this? It seems like every story.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of it if you're talking about Mel B.
That's what it is.
I really don't care.
But now.
Every day.
But now there's new Dish.
Wait,
and
on
it's
who?
Hot.
Who is it?
Mel B.
Who is Mel B?
Spice Girls. Scary Spice. Wasn't she Scary Spice? Nurse? Nancy?
Skank Spice.
Wow.
And when she married to Belafonte's son, I think.
Is that right?
I think so.
I know the last name is Belafonte. Yeah. Mel B and her nanny were lovers, and they had sex multiple times a week, and it was the former Spice Girl and not her husband who pressured her into making threesome sex tapes, bombshell lawsuit claims. Lorraine Giles, former nanny for Mel B, is suing the ex-Spice Girl. She claims that Mel and husband Stephen Belafonte picked her up in a bar. And then she became their nanny after a threesome.
Is that the way that you hire your nanny?
I've never had
because
a nanny.
Because I don't know if we're
going to
go through the process, yeah. But is that how you do it? You pick them up in a bar and...
I think usually they try to pick nannies that the husband won't have sex with, not the other way around. But that's just me.
She says she had a 7-year relationship separate from Mel's marriage. Belafonte would sometimes join in when Mel asked him to. Good sport. Giles also claims that she was pressured into making sex tapes with the couple. Mel ended the relationship in an email asking her not to reply.
What?
Please do not reply.
Why would you even put that in there?
She claimed the claims come in a defamation suit during Mel and Belafonte's divorce proceedings. Giles says Mel has painted a picture of her as a, quote, homewrecker, a whore, and a Jezebel. I like the term Jezebel. It's not used enough. It's kind of like nitwit. I want to bring it back. Jezebel. Where does that come from? That seems like that's got to be biblical. That's too much of a word in order for it to be just like something that was used like in the 60s.
7 years this went on?
7 years of lesbianism. Mm.
Is like...
And she's like legit... Pretty, man.
Yeah, she is.
Is Mel B still rich off of Spice Girls money?
Oh, I'm sure.
I just read some of that money.
And she did
million.
That America's Got Talent. Okay. So I'm sure she made some cash off that. Yeah, but this nanny's legit. There's pictures of him kissing and the whole deal.
Mm.
Look at that. Look what the word is. Look what the word is there. How do you do?
Anybody shopping these sex tapes?
Nurse?
Ben?
I'm sure Vivid will be all over it.
Probably find on a torrent or something like that.
But she's not a Jezebel, she says. She's not a Jezebel.
But I know she doesn't say she's not a whore.
I think she did say that as well.
Oh, did she? Okay.
Yeah, she covered that.
Call me
so
a whore, just not a Jezebel.
Is she with Mel B now? Or
no, there's a breakup. Yep.
Breaking up is hard to do.
It's my credo, especially when it's your lesbian nanny.
I've seen movies when you have threesomes with the au pair, but never a nanny. I always thought the au pair was
What's the difference?
Yeah, what is the difference?
I think au pairs come
I just
from
thought
France.
Au pairs were in different countries.
Come over from Europe.
Does one of them live in the home and the other one comes and goes? Is that the
so.
Difference?
Yeah, the au pair kind of comes from overseas and gets room and board.
Okay.
And then usually sex.
There's
I don't think it's usually. I think
Well,
I think
in the films that Iggy's referring
well, yeah,
to.
The Cinemax movies, yeah.
Cinemax movies.
I know a girl who went over to Germany and was an au pair.
Really?
It was a great deal.
There's like a whole...
People are loaded rich. I mean, she just got to hang out in their mansion.
And there's like... You have to go like through the au pair training.
Yeah,
and
you have the whole certification. They don't just let anybody come over there.
You don't just say, hey, I'm an au pair. How you doing? You got to go through the whole rigmarole.
I found out that there's these things called night nurses.
No, that sounds like one of Iggy's movies.
They did four of those. Night Nurses 1, Night Nurses 2, 3, and 4.
Night Nurses with the Z.
So what the night nurse is you pay her, and then she comes in and handles when the baby's up. And you can kind of fade it. Kind of like this night nurse idea.
Wait, say that again? So you have someone that comes...
Do they spend the night, Tim?
Yeah, but I guess they stay up and play on the fan page.
And then if the baby gets up, they tend to...
Exactly. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm in my sleep position and I don't move.
Yeah, that'll change.
Yeah, you're all tough now.
No, I'm saying Anna Marie thinks I'm like fake sleeping, but I truly don't wake up. Now, I don't know if this will change when the young tyke is right next to us. I don't know. But I'm popping pills, bitch. I'm popping pills.
You're like, I'm so cool, I'm not going to care. And then when you have the kid, you'll be like,
not what I'm saying.
I hear Flozell. Is Flozell crying?
No,
Flozell.
I'm saying I don't wake up. That's what I'm saying. When the smoke alarm goes off, I don't
know. You get spidey parent senses.
Your dad instincts kick in.
Is that what happens? Yes. How are you talking about this? Do you have like some bastard child I'm not aware of?
I'm just guessing.
He has a ferret.
Oh, I didn't know.
He has a ferret.
I live with two cats, and let me tell you, when they're crying in the middle of the night, I'm on it.
Oh, so you're not capable of making children?
Well, I haven't tried yet.
Well, the two cats.
Well, I mean, let me rephrase that. I've not wanted to have children yet.
Old Dustin.
Junior and TJ Moe thing.
Can I walk that back? Because I don't want to go down that road again.
They call them Dusty Loins.
My wife was raised by au pairs. Should I ask her how much lesbianism took place in her home? Thanks. That's from Timmy Tom Tom.
You should have had that discussion before you got married, my friend.
I'm sure there was some.
Au pair, pretentious, Iggy, and now I am trying to be an a-hole. I guess this is the guy who said he wasn't trying to be an a-hole earlier when he says nobody should celebrate the Blues beating the Wild. This guy.
Well, I'm sure there are some nannies who refer to themselves as au pairs.
What is the difference?
I don't know. We still we have an assumption.
Nanny is someone is a paid sitter.
Do you say
an
nana?
Au pair is part of this thing where they come from another land. Mm-hmm. And then they watch your kids for
you.
And
they live with you.
And they live with you. Yeah. But a nanny can live with you. You can have a live-in.
Yeah, so
nanny.
For real, what is so au pair is from another land? That really
another
is
another land, yeah.
An au pair, according to Webster,
German
usually,
or Ireland.
A usually young foreign person who cares for children and does domestic work for a family.
That's the au pair.
In return for room and board and the opportunity to learn the family's language.
Okay, now what about nanny boy?
I think a nanny is just someone who watches the kids. I don't think the nanny's doing your laundry.
Now, how was I being pretentious? Because
I think
they just gave you the definition that I gave.
I think what the guy was saying was that au pair sounds like a pretentious word.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't know that he was calling you pretentious.
Yeah, well, he's still an a-hole.
You would think if it's an au pair, you get two of them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
You get two au pairs?
Well, it's an au pair. So you get one, say, from Ireland, one from Germany.
It's like a pair of scissors.
They do a split shift.
Yeah, it's like a pair of scissors. It's not
ideally they're scissoring.
In the mornings, one's making the breakfast. At night, someone's doing the laundry, and you're not paying them at all.
Guys, she said there's no lesbianism, but I'm picking a Patel. Hashtag developing. That's from Timmy Tom Tom, whose wife was raised by au pairs. Apparently lesbian au pairs. I nannied for Neil Patrick Harris and his lover. We made beautiful love biweekly. That's from Timmy Recaps. Steve in Des Moines, starting my Monday morning with thoughts of a naked Ben Fred making love. Thanks. What an odd text. In a text inbox full of odd texts, that one actually, for whatever reason, shook me. And I've read a lot of weird things out of this thing.
Well, it's a way to say welcome to the show. You're part of the family now.
Appreciate it.
Guys, I have a friend who hired an au pair. She's smoking hot. He travels a lot for work.
I wonder if that means that there's lesbianism when he's out of town.
Stop talking like that. You're going to hurt yourself. Plus, all that kind of talks out the window once Flozell arrives.
There's no lesbianism?
No discussion of it.
I think there's a good market that hasn't been tapped yet for apps like AuPairOnly.com, you know, to where au pairs in another country looking for love and don't get out of the house a lot, maybe looking for some dating activities. And
you want to create that app?
I don't think there are many male au pairs.
Really?
Well, it doesn't. Yeah, that is true. Maybe a guy that's looking for banging au pair.
I think you had something.
Okay.
Speaking of German-Irish nannies, how about that Mick Kraut Tom Hagen? Was he a nanny? I think he was just the consigliere, was he not?
He wasn't a good consigliere.
Wartime.
At wartime. He was really an attorney by trade. The Corleones took him in and they treat him like a member of the family.
Despite his Irish heritage.
And that made Fredo upset because Fredo wasn't given much
felt like he was passed over.
But he was smart.
Newparent.com says to think of au pairs like an adult foreign exchange student who earns money by providing child care.
Very nice. Guys, I banged a male au pair at Mid River Sears. He wore flip-flops and a Yeti hat. Thanks.
I bet you all male au pairs, not one of them is a power bottom either, because I could just picture
So you picture power top?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What are you picturing? What are you picturing?
A bigger guy with
I'm not even sure that they're male au pairs. I've never heard of a male au pair.
White pants, ascot, something like that.
And that guy's a power top? I mean, if anything, I'll play along with the attire, but then at that point, I assume that gentleman's bottoming. I just do.
Described Judge Smales.
Ted Knight may rest in peace. Guys, I'm pretty sure Marcia and Greg had this going on with Alice. That's from Bunchy Donovan's Priest. Now, she was a housekeeper.
A housekeeper.
She wasn't.
Some people say maid is a derogatory.
Is that right? Well, you just got to be careful.
And she really was the glue of that family, in my opinion.
Guys, is Ben Fred one of the two first name people from the fan pin, i.e. the CJ6? Ben Fred's more of a lurker on the fan pin, right?
I'll drop in once in a while.
Yeah. Maybe a post every couple
weeks. Throw a like out there. I don't want to be too involved.
What has your association with this show been like? You were on another fine presentation with the Legit Journos. Now, how do you differentiate between the two? What is your involvement?
Well, the writer's block, rest in peace.
May it rest in peace.
Could get a little dicey at times. I feel like I've gone from the kiddie pool to the deep end. Like, well, when Derek was gone, we could get off the rails a little bit. And now I just feel like I've jumped into the deep end here.
How so?
Just with some of the things that are addressed. There were some things that came up while you were gone that made me a little uncomfortable. I just going back to the old D. I decided to
Sounds like your own words, sir. Sounds like your own words, sir.
What was that context? That's what I've realized about this show. Sometimes there's some cuts of the week and things that happen that seem to lack context.
Doug makes that claim every week, although he continually he steps in it himself.
He does.
But when you say the deep end, do you mean because there's adult discussion that you're not totally
It's just, it's very mature talk, and I feel like I'm as a young guy, I'm just trying to,
Yeah, you don't get picked
catch
off.
Catch up to speed.
I understand. Plausible deniability. It's important to have. Guys, Jeffrey from Fresh Prince was a hell of a butler. Any chance he slept with Viv and Uncle Phil? Thanks. Timmy recaps again. I don't see that.
They were a straight-laced family.
Yeah, I don't see that.
But Jazzy J came and left as he pleased. That kind of seems like a situation where...
You think that was
red
a cuck
flags
stage?
Or, cucks? Maybe not a cuck. Phil would definitely not allow a cuck, I don't think.
Now, maybe Lisa Bonet, I could see her getting freaky.
From The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, that seems to me to be a lock that she's been with women, even though I don't know if it's been addressed anywhere. But this Mel B discovery, once I saw that article on the fan page, I did a little bit of show prep myself. And it turns out she's really into women. This isn't the first time. So odd. It seems like she might just be straight lesbian. Even though she's married, it might be like a Travolta Preston deal.
She's still married?
Is this coming out because...
Well, she's in divorce.
Yeah, this is all coming out because they're divorced.
Yeah, but
right?
There's like all these pictures of her making out with women.
I wonder why she tried to throw the nanny under the bus for this.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Why wouldn't you just say we're getting a divorce?
I was not paying any attention to the story at all until I saw that Mel B and this very attractive, like, 27-year-old were hooking up.
This is the problem I have with this show. He goes for the titillation.
Right.
I'm trying to get to the facts of the matter.
And I guess we're not going to pay our respects to Joni Cunningham.
Aaron Moran passed away at the age of 56. She had fallen on some hard times over the last decade or two.
Yeah, as I read probably on TMZ, she got kicked out of her home in California, then moved in with her husband's mom who was sick, and then in a trailer, and then the mom kicked them out. Would it have been so hard for someone to give her an afternoon special, a Hallmark role, and help out a woman who was so beloved?
She had no interest.
She didn't have any interest? Do you interview her?
No, but people
seemed like that would have been up the fun
yes,
audio.
I'm surprised.
Well, I've
usually
tried.
When a name's brought up, I get a text from Iggy with a phone number.
No, I
like
tried.
If it's a C-lister, he texts me.
No, I tried back in the day. I had numbers for her contacts, and they always said she's not interested. She's not into that anymore. She's not into celebrities, so she doesn't do interviews. So it was kind of like she doesn't care. She doesn't want to be in film, TV. She just wants to go live in her trailer park in Indianapolis or wherever she was.
Did she get a narcotics? Was that the issue there?
She did have a...
Did she?
I think there were drugs and then money issues. But I tried to bring it up with Donnie Most a couple weeks ago.
Name drop.
This is a real thing.
Well,
if it came from the cat, you'd be like, oh, he's using one of those obscure names from the 70s again. But in this case, Iggy truly did interview Donnie Most 2 weeks ago.
And you try to have some fun with these interviews. So I went in a direction with... On the set, who got hit on more, Aaron Moran or Marion Ross? Mm. And he laughed and laughed and then said no comment. Then we talked about
leather. It wasn't so great.
No, then we got onto Leather Tuscadero.
So Pinky.
Aaron Moran's name was brought up a couple weeks ago.
I checked on Donnie Moe's net worth because, right, you know, I'm interested.
That's your thing.
And he's worth $2 million. So he's, wow, done okay for himself, whereas Joni Cunningham did not.
Now, she had the thing with Chachi, right?
She loved, Joni loves Chachi.
Yeah.
Hey, update on this fantasy baseball scandal.
Uh-oh.
Andy Barra, who is a great American from the independent tire dealers, has come on in and said, I did not vote. I only know about this because I heard it discussed on the radio this morning. I pay zero attention to other people's trades. Patriot. And he said, I was thinking about forwarding league emails to an account that I monitor on a daily basis, but after rereading this entire thread, I think I'm doing it right. Wobble, wobble. Wobble.
I'm surprised that Doug gets in on that.
So we only have one person who has not voted, and that's a big boss in North County. And so the gentleman who accused me and Deke Dotem of collusion said, so it looks like the five votes came from Doug, Charlie, It's Vaughn, Justin in Columbia, and the big boss in North County. And I said, well, let's allow the big boss in North County to say his piece, because then we're going to get into the exact same thing that got us here, which was an accusation that proved to be unfounded. So, as the gentleman who started all of this in the first place by saying he didn't want to be this guy said, if the big boss in North County said he did not veto it either, then in the words of Gabe DiArmond, somebody is being lied to. And then we'd have a whole thing. Then we'd have a whole thing. Then you have the potential ending of the league. Wow. Wow.
You think this could bring down the whole entire league?
It could.
I guess my question is, are you going to conduct the rest of your trades and vetoes with this in mind, or will you let it go? Or is this going to define the season for you? This is a defining moment.
I have to tell you, in the moment, that's why you never make business decisions when you have emotion, because I was truly pissed off that guys I'm friends with thought that I was like colluding with Dotem. That like irritated me. And then, like I said, my whole world was rocked by thinking Cucky the Dwarf was this different human being for 48 hours. Because like I think if I'm jealous of two people, it's the Plowboy and Cucky, because they're just perma happy, and if all of a sudden like it's like if the Plowboy, like, can you imagine if this were the Plowboy posting?
Couldn't
this?
Even post that without laughing.
I'd go, oh my god, what happened to the Plowboy? So that's how I viewed it, because I'm thinking Cucky's like this perma happy dude, and now he's like tough guy on the internet. And I'm going, oh no, my world's been rocked. Fortunately, it wasn't that. That makes me feel a little bit better.
Do you need an agent? I know this is rarely used in fantasy sports. You have a lot on your plate. Maybe you relay what players you're interested on a specific team. Then I relay that message to the team.
Oh, this is like college coaching decisions are made.
And I'm the middleman, and nice. Nothing lands on you if these are, quote, bad trades. Mm. Yes, Kat?
You are taking questions?
Yeah.
What about those who would point to the fact that you weren't able to give a yes or no on being in the league in the first place that may have caused the membership to someone that Tim thought was Cucky? Now you want Tim to depend on you as a liaison, even though you've shown a track record of not being dependable.
Well, I told Joe's short notice, and I never try to defend my short notice exit, but it kind of looked that way. And prod Joe, if I'll prod Joe.
Why didn't you participate, by the way?
You did say you also...
Just busy. And Mace Dog didn't want to do it. It really is a full-time deal, especially if you want to compete and win.
That's why I don't do it.
You did say that you also provided suggestions of people who would be a good...
No, and I was wrong on that. I thought
that just came out of nowhere, that you just gave names.
Well, I remember apologizing to him about the short notice. I thought I threw out a couple names, but apparently I didn't.
Prod Joe always keeps his text. Back to the point, though. Because you just backed up the fact that you are too busy and you couldn't handle a team, yet you want to be Tim's liaison as if suddenly your schedule is clear.
Well, I think that day by day, roster is hard. No. I feel like with Tim, maybe once a week, he'd dive into some trades and these don't need to be happening.
I love making trades. Charlie and I are addicted to trades. Charlie's also addicted to vetoing my trades. So now people are theorizing that somebody's lying about saying they didn't veto the
This trade. Is like Survivor.
part of me wants to just blow up the league and be the Mitch McConnell of the league and just veto everything I possibly can. And then the other part of me is like, now I just want to win this thing. Whereas before, I mean, I put in like $150, $200 in DraftKings every night. So $100 for the entire season. And by the way, it's not like I'm profitable, so I'm just pissing this away. But this now becomes a little bit more personal because people made it personal. It ain't business no more. Nino Brown, New Jack City, 1991? 92. 91? 92. Zero Res. Time to talk about spring cleaning heroes. It's Zero Res Carpet Care. Wait. You weren't planning on getting your carpets clean this spring? Getting your carpeting cleaned is not just about how your home looks. It's about your family's health. You know that bacteria and allergens build up in your carpeting, crushing your hopes and dreams of clean, healthy indoor air. Only the guys at Zero Res Carpet Care clean with patented empowered water, not soaps and shampoos. So you get a healthy and clean home without soapy, crunchy, dirt-attracting residue. And when Zero Res is done, your home smells fresh and clean, not like a janitor's chemical closet. Trust me, you'll appreciate the difference. Call today and ask for the $590 special, three-room Zero Resified, starting at $119. That's right, three-room Zero Res Clean, starting at $119. But this price won't last, so call 314-474-2020. 314-474-2020, online at ZeroResSTL.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or spell it forward. It spells the same. Zero Res. Time for the Hot Shots email today. Big doings here because we're giving away not only a free Lemmings lunch at Hot Shots for the Hot Shots email today, but also a pair of Cardinal Field Box tickets for this Friday night against the Reds. So big doings here. The prizes are big, but the month also. Plops has 5 wins. Tunnels has 3 wins, 7 others with 1 win, all still alive for email of the month with 5 shows left, but no email from Misty Plops, I'm told. Wow. I hope everything's all right in the Plops household. That's very rare. Plops is pretty regular. Hi, guys. Tim asked for some specific info regarding streaming problems we were experiencing. I've only had a couple issues. Number one, every once in a while I hear a smoky voice, middle-aged, orange-skinned swinger talking about all the famous people he knows in the background of your show. I figure it must be some bleed-through from another station down the dial. Just wanted to let you know. And number two, this hasn't been a problem today, but on most days for the last 10 years or so, I keep hearing the voice of what seems to be a surly old former drag queen. He always talks when Tim and Kat aren't talking, right when Martin's about to say something. It's really weird, but I haven't been able to hear Martin's hot takes for about a decade. Can't believe nobody's brought it up yet. Thank you all. I love you. That's from Jacob Nieter. Jacob Nieter.
Pretty good one.
Hey, boys. In the book, Michael had a trade in the Five Families Roto Baseball League that was vetoed. This set in motion the settling of all family business during the baptism scene. Thank you, Stephen Wildwood. I don't think I'm going to whack people. But my Irish is up. Ben Fred, are you familiar with skin grafts? Well, you are going to need one because this hot take is going to burn your skin off your bones. Ha, just kidding. Blackman for Pedroia, are you guys kidding me? Can Pedroia steal you 30 bases and hit you 30 round trippers? Does he carry a high BABAP? I'm here to tell you no. Have you ever seen his launch angle, bro? Veto that trade, sir. Huh? Just kidding. It's fantasy baseball. Get a life, imposter cuck. And Dorothy from St. Charles is right. How can Carlos Martinez focus on baseball with all those cultural beads flip-flopping all over the place? I will tell you, he cannot. Huh? Just kidding. These guys are from all over the world to play a game of children that brings joy to all types of humans. Let us respect our differences and love as one, shall we? Again, as always, thank you for your time. The real non-fantasy guy, Cucky the Dwarf. One of the best in the business. Cucky the Dwarf. Aw, shucks. I'm just the average guy. Fooled around a little on the side. Who'd have thought a one-night stand would turn into my new post-dispatch boyfriend? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I see where this is going. Ben, welcome. Now, I know the rules of the games. You hit it once, then break away clean. I hate to have to cheat, but it feels better when I sneak. Oh, this affair is unique. All my life, I never met such a freak. I'm in love with Ben Fredrickson. That's from Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic
Man.
Oh, no. It's a gentleman in his 50s.
Who used to love Doug.
Right. He might be cheating, as he made reference to. Boys, well, take a gander at the old gerbil doc just peacocking around, busted out my yarmulke and agreed with the cat this ma'am. That's right, James, I'm back in my comfort zone as well. Blues and cards with good weekends. Just bought a new house, but most importantly, the hospital has called me away from the gerbil births for a second and transferred me to human births. Had a gay gentleman named Kenneth propped up and dilated 8 centimeters. Gave birth to a baby twink and named it Doug. I was comfortable in amniotic fluid because, once again, I was present with Doug's fluid all over me, Mitz.
Oh.
Now that this email is done, let me sit back and hear another wonderful haiku from the great Tunnels 12,000. Peace be with a lot of you, is Dr. Woody Bender. Sea Monster again ordering the emails, and he thought that one was worthy of the cleanup spot.
He sits back there and chuckles.
Sneaky vile. Sneaky vile. What did he say? I don't know what's going on. Look at what's next. Ah, I see. There was a reason he ordered it that way. God, he's always got a strategy. He's always right.
One step ahead of the game.
I'm telling you. Morn, in honor of blue shipping, I scribed a haiku. And in van, 2-1, meat bulge or the boy panty, curious boy tongue. Think about it. Tunnels 12,000. I like what he's doing right now. It's like Stephen Wildwood had that formula down for a while. What Tunnels is doing is dangerous. Morning, fellas. My wife and I went to a bed and breakfast this past weekend. It was a little awkward because there was a creepy-ass old dude there who looked like he fell asleep for 10 hours in a tanning bed. He kept coming up to me, saying he could bang every dude's wife that was there if he wanted to, but he didn't want to break up any marriages, so he was going to pass. He sat around all night drinking out of a bottle of wine with Lady Gaga's face on it. It was called Pinot Fupa.
Oh, no.
At the end of the night, I walked by his room and heard him. I peeked in, and he was talking to a life-size Lady Gaga poster, and he had his little monster painted on his chest. At that point, my wife and I got the hell out of there. Freaking creep. Forever and always, that's from Mae Young's newborn hand. This Mae Young's newborn hand, Iggy, I'm telling you. A new force in the email game. Guys, we are TMA fans, but we're very impressed with Mike Francesa on WFAN. Every member of the show is well-spoken and respectable. Is it possible that not having a drug addict and sex criminal producing the show affects performance? It seems to work for Francesa. That comes from Dorothy in St. Charles. We haven't had a Francesa drop today, Plowhawk, nor have we had a meow. What's going on?
Oh, it was a heavy sports take, and kind of wanted to let it breathe a little bit. Didn't want to interrupt anybody with a meow, so we'll hit it hard.
Never interrupt. Never. It's fine.
Hey, it's time for us to pick because it's already 10 o'clock, and Frank does this real program. It's a Lions Choice Famous Roast Beef Hand-Up. Frank, son of the Hollywood Express.
Jacob Nieder, Cucky, Jacob. I'm going to go Jacob Nieder. I'm going Jacob.
I'm
going
to go the other way, Cucky.
They're both good.
I'm going Cucky as well. Congratulations, Cucky. You have shipped the Hot Shots email today, and you get to take one of your tykes, too. The Cardinal games and sitting in some field box seats on Friday night. And you got a Lemmings lunch at Hot Shots in addition. Well played, sir. Hey, 314 Sports, a great sponsor of this program. And they are the sponsor of Mark Saxon on Fridays with our Cardinal Report. 314 Sports for all your baseball and softball needs. 314 Sports, a state-of-the-art training center, a baseball tournament company, and the home of the St. Louis Redbirds Baseball Club. 314 Training Academy is also your one-stop shop for summer camps. And at just $99 for their four-day camps, it's the best deal in town. Plus, you can add on afternoons and Fridays. Boys and girls ages 5 to 14 get access to the entire training facility, and camps are run by their team of certified instructors. 314-963-1110. That's 314-963-1110. Or visit 314sports.com. 314 Training Academy featuring the state-of-the-art HitTrax Baseball Simulator. 314-963-1110. Or visit 314sports.com. Time for us to shut it down. It's the Lions Choice Famous Roast Beef Handoff to Frank Cusimano in the Hollywood Casino Press Box. For the Plow Predator, for Iggy, for the Sea Monster, for Ben Fredrickson, and for Douglas Sullivan Vaughn, and for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.